Good afternoon. Let's turn to the Gospel of John. We continue our study, which we left off 2 weeks ago. I had the privilege of being in North Carolina for the birth of my second granddaughter. We thank the Lord for that, his kindness to us and to Julian, our daughter. What a privilege it is to come here before and during our service to bring all our requests to God, knowing that he hears our prayers because we pray in Christ's name. So as we come to the word, and as this word today has been dedicated, that the Lord may open our eyes to the wonderful truths found in his word. Let's pick up John chapter 1, and we're going to read the first 5 verses again of John chapter 1. Gospel according to John chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. The life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Because it's been 2 weeks, we can have a little bit of a recap from what we looked at last time we were together. We noted that the Logos is the Word of God. It is God telling forth, whether it be in creation, as our passage today will emphasize, or God revealing his will and his word through the patriarchs, through the prophets, or judges, or kings. It is the Logos that speaks. It is the Word of God. It is God's communication. And as we observe, very importantly, that it is only in Christ that God is fully told out. God revealing himself through his Son down from the beginning was always through his Word, the Logos. And we noted, secondly, that the Logos was from the very beginning, or in beginning, and that the scriptures make it clear here in the very opening verses of John chapter 1, as well as throughout scripture, that the Logos is eternal. The Logos was God in beginning. He was in the bosom of the Father. He was face to face with the Father in beginning. So we noted that the Logos was not created, for when creation began, the Logos was there. And by the word of the Lord, the Logos were the heavens created. We noted thirdly that the Logos was God, as our text unequivocally states. Verses 1 and 2, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. The Logos is, in fact, as we know, the pre-existent Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son, the very subsistence, in very subsistence God, as our confession we noted states so clearly. And the New Testament bears this out for us repeatedly, as we noted even in Philippians, that he being in very morphe, in form, God did not account equality with God something to be grasped. The Logos, the eternal Son of God, was made flesh, we see in chapter verse 14 of chapter 1, confirms and is echoed throughout the whole New Testament scriptures in many places. We concluded this point by saying, what is the conclusion? Who is the Logos? The Lord Jesus Christ, and he is none other than God, the second person of the Holy Trinity. Fourthly, we noted that the Logos was with God in beginning. As we mentioned earlier, he was with God, face to face with God. He is God and yet distinct from God as the eternal Son, not created but emanating from the Father as the only begotten Son in the bosom of the Father and with the Spirit, the third person of the Holy Trinity, who proceeds from both the Father and the Son. We have the triune God. We concluded our study by noting that the Son is now with the Father again, ascended on high at the Father's right hand. And we noted after his resurrection, that is, that the Son is with us and he is in us if we believe in him, and with his church and with his people, for he is the omnipresent and omnipotent God. That his Holy Spirit dwells within every believer, and that the Son's presence with us, the Spirit, is that guarantee of our inheritance that he has given to us. And our response should be twofold, that we worship the Son and that we listen to the Son. We obey him. God has spoken, and God speaks in the Logos, in the Son, in the pages of Scripture, in the Son. In these last days, the believers worship the Son. They listen to him and listen to God's affirmation of him, who said, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." And so, as we know, the first 18 verses of the Gospel of John are critical to our understanding of everything that will come after John, and critical to our understanding of the Logos and the Lord Jesus Christ. And we come then to, again, chapter 1, and this time we're going to observe our text, verses 3 to 5 for today. Verses 3 to 5, we'll read those again. "All things were made through him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." And so John continues to speak to us of the Logos, the incarnate Son, very God and very man. And our text continues to talk of the glories of the deity of the Son. And you remember that is the overall theme of the Gospel of John, the deity of the Son. And today we see the deity of the Son in creation and in himself as being the life in himself and the light of the world. Those three things in those three verses. And so, no surprise, 3 points. And the first one being the Logos is God's agent in creation. The Logos is God's agent in creation. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. All things, one by one, came into being through the divine word, the Logos. And we have here the great truth that the Lord Jesus Christ created all things. And we notice that this is in perfect cooperation with the Father and the Spirit. All three persons cooperate. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And we read there in Genesis, "And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." And again, when they created man, "Let us make man." And so it is true to say that God created. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit created. The eternal triune God in three persons were all clearly involved and all cooperated in the creation of all things. But here in the Gospel, as well as in the passage of the Old Testament, which we have referred to, the overall teaching of all the Scriptures, the Son's role in creation is clarified and emphasized. For now we read that all things were made through him, the Logos, and that spoken word of God. In other words, the Logos is God's agent in creation. Our text gives us twofold affirmation of this. And while the text of this in this chapter seems clumsy in English, and this is all for a purpose, it is to be absolutely clear. Firstly, in the past, expressed positively, we read, all things were made through him, through this agent, namely God's word. And secondly, in the present tense, expressed negatively, and without him was not anything made that was made. Two things are stressed for us. The first one being that Christ himself was not created. And we mentioned this, and this is important. Christ himself was not created, for he was eternal. This was stressed 4 times in the first two verses of this book, and the second is that all things were created through him. The Word of God is the agent through which all things were created. The creation account in Genesis affirms this for us, as the record of each day in the work of creation is preceded by the words, "And God said." It was the Word, the Logos, as we noted in Psalm 33 and verse 6, "By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth all their hosts." And in similar fashion, the wisdom literature interprets it to mean that all things exist by his wisdom, is the word personified in the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. There in Proverbs 3 and 19, "The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens." Proverbs 8:30, a verse we referred to in a previous study, "Then I was beside him like a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always." And we read in Psalm 102, verse 24, "O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you made them earth, them all. The earth is full of your creatures." F.F. Bruce, the commentator, says, "The evangelist makes it plain that the word which he speaks is also the wisdom described by the psalmist and other Old Testament writings. And he goes on to declare that the word and wisdom alike became incarnate in the Lord Jesus Christ." It's not only in the writings of John that the creation agency is ascribed to the pre-existent Christ. And you know the verses, Colossians 1:16, For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And Hebrews 1 and verse 12, in verse 2, "These last days God has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world." And in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14, Christ introduces himself as the Amen, the beginning of God's creation. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write the words of the Amen, the true and the faithful witness, the beginning of God's creation. All that came to be alive was his life, as our text will show, as our next point will show. What is the application here? Keeping with the purpose of John, stated by the apostle himself, "These things are written that you might believe, and that by believing you may have life in his name." So that we need to understand that to believe on him is to believe all that the gospel says about him. To believe all the scriptures say about him is true. And that also to believe that the Logos is God's agent in creation. And to believe that all things were created by him, through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And you may be here today and say, "Well, yes, I believe in Christ. I believe that he died for my sins." But the Jesus of Scripture that you need to believe in is that he is God, that he is the eternal Son, and that all things were created by him. And if you do not believe all of these things, you're believing in a different Jesus. You may say you believe most things about Jesus, the most important things. But creation, well, I'm not sure about that. That Jesus is the Son of God, yes, but that he is God, well, my interpretation may be a little bit different. And on creation, well, I think it could be a little bit of evolution, maybe a little bit of that Big Bang. My friend, then you do not believe in him, and you cannot have life in his name. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, "But grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. The Logos is God's agent in creation. That brings us to our second point. Not only is the Logos God's agent in creation, but secondly, the Logos has life in himself. The Logos has life in himself. Verse 4, our text. In him was life. The life was the light of men. Having seen what the Logos is, who he is, where he was, and you remember from our second sermon, who he was, having understood that what we have studied in the first two verses of John about the eternal Son, the Logos of God, this should come now as no surprise to us all. Christ was not created, but begotten. He proceeded from the Father, of the same subsistence with the Father. And since he was God's agent in creation, and all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made, it stands to reason what John says now: in him was life. Not in him is life, after something happened to make it so. Maybe at creation something happened to make him life. So whether the incarnation or something transpired at creation, no, in him was life. For he is the eternal God, the pre-incarnate Son. The Son shares by the Father's good pleasure that self-existent life which belongs to Creator as distinct from the creature. And there was a quote: neither is it life through him, but it is life in him. In him was life. From all eternity and throughout the entire old dispensation, life resided in the Word. And we're not talking about physical life residing in him as we understand it. God is not physical in any sense. John 4:24, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And this truth is amplified for us in the middle section of John chapter 5 and verses 19 to 29. You can make a note of that and read that. That deals with the authority of Jesus, because by Pastor Rick's calculation, we'll only get there in 12 and a half years. So I suggest you go and read that today. John 5, verse 19 to 29. But in verse 26, we read, "For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself." Brothers and sisters, it is because the Son shares the self-existent life with the Father that he can impart life to others. In him was life. It is because the Son has life in himself that he is able to create and to give life to all created things. And being God, when he created man, he breathed into him a soul so that man had self-awareness. And man, created in God's image, had a God consciousness. And that is why our text continues to say, "And the life was the light of man." In him was life, and the life was the light of man. Christ, having life in himself, can again illuminate the fallen mind. And our text points out that the life in the Word is said to have special importance for one part of creation, humanity. For humanity, in him was life, and the life was the light of man. There's two ways in which the Son is the light of man: by natural illumination to the human mind. And we know that man, by the fall, has rejected the light of God's illumination. And yet, as Romans tells us, they are yet without excuse. And secondly, by spiritual illumination, by the new birth. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12, John's writing in the epistle, whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. Life and light that Christ has come to impart to the world in him, coming to earth through his finished substitutionary work on the cross, belongs to the spiritual sphere. And here's our application. We exist, and all things exist, every one of them, because all things were made through him, every one of them. Without him was not a single thing made. More than that, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. That life has always been in him, has come to be the light of men, has come to illuminate our minds to a knowledge of the glory of the Lord, and has come to illumine our hearts by the new birth. So believers rejoice in that life which is in the Son. Rejoice that the Son has come to give you life and life more abundantly, as John 10:10 says. And that doesn't mean earthly accumulation and wealth, but come to give you life more, not a prosperous life on earth, but eternal life in him, life everlasting. And this is how we grow in the knowledge and in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, by understanding who he is and by us understanding what God has done for us in Christ. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Unbeliever, if you're sitting here today, I'll say to you, in him was life. The life was the light of men. There's nothing else in religion of any value to you without the Son. No amount of good works or charity, no amount of attendance at church, no amount of self-sacrifice and service, no amount of law-keeping that can secure for you the illumination of your spirit, for you are dead in your trespasses and sins. And so what you need is life, and there is life in his name. And unless you have the Son, you do not have the Son. You do not have life, and you will perish in your sin, and you alone will bear the full wrath of God for every sin you ever committed on this earth. But if you have the Son, you have life. If you believe in the Son, you will live even though you die. If you believe all that Jesus is, the Logos of God, the eternal God himself, if you come to him in repentance and faith, he will give you life. For the life that he has is the light of men. The Logos has life in himself. And that brings us thirdly to our final point. Thirdly, the light of the Logos has overcome the darkness. The light of the Logos has overcome the darkness. Verse 5 of our text. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. We've just observed that the self-existent life that was in the Son produces a light for men. That special and specific part of God's creation, mankind, made in the image of God, receives the benefit of that life, a light and illumination to the mind and to the spirit, to the souls of men. And these benefits are only conveyed in the Logos, God's agent of creation, and in the new creation, the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll observe later in our study of the Gospel of John, the I Am passages of the Lord Jesus Christ, where he personifies this light. And in fact, Jesus calls himself the light of the world there in John 8 and verse 12. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And in fact, again, we see as here in 1 John, life and the light are spoken of as together. We first come across the the words darkness and light, the two opposites, darkness and light, in the creation account. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, we read, "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." That is, darkness prevailed before God called light into being. It was, as we've noted, that by the Logos, God's agent in creation, that light was called into being, as were all things, step by step, created by the Son. And even as the Logos was effective in creating light in a once dark world, so in the new creation, it is again the Logos who is God's creating word and agent that comes effectively once more, this time bringing spiritual light and banishes spiritual darkness by the light that shines in the Word, in Himself. And so when we read in John chapter 1 and verse 14, "The Word became flesh, dwelt among us, we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, Christ who was Himself life, has brought that light of life into the world." And we have the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The fallen world into which the pre-existent eternal Son came, fulfilling the prophecy, is the light of God coming to the world. And apart from the light, as is frequently noted in this gospel, the world of mankind is shrouded in darkness. The Old Testament passage here is very well known. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, we read this: "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them the light has shone." The light that has come into the world has overcome the darkness. Though light and darkness are opposites, and darkness appears to be much stronger, it does in my mind, if you know an intense and very deep darkness, it seems so strong. And I'll never forget the first cruise we went on with our girls about 5 or 6 years ago. Went on a short cruise, and we had an inside cabin right at the bottom of the ship somewhere, and I've never known such intense darkness. When we closed that cabin, there were no windows. There was absolutely no light. And it seems that our eyes could never become accustomed to it. And it makes you think that it's so dark that if there was a tiny flicker of light, it would be just too dark because the darkness has overcome it. But Jesus, the light, shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Natural darkness, however, is, in fact, not stronger than light. Pitch darkness, even in pitch darkness, if you have the smallest little candle, if you have a tiny little flashlight, it immediately overcomes darkness in that place. The darkness does not overcome light. And so the spiritual light that has shone in this dark world is stronger than the deepest darkness. The darkness of the sinful world is no match for the light of the Logos. The darkness has not overcome it. The darkness has not mastered it. We read in John 12 and 35, Jesus said to them, "The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in darkness does not know where he is going." And in the epistle of 1 John, he writes in chapter 2 and verse 8, "At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining." And we understand, of course, that here in the gospel, as in most of Scripture, light and darkness are to be understood ethically rather than metaphysically, light being synonymous with goodness and truth, and darkness with evil and falsehood. And even though Christ came into the world, and the world did not recognize him, and even his own people to whom he came rejected him. Yet the light of the Logos shone in our hearts, illuminating the glory of the gospel, and it outshines the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it, did not overpower it, cannot put out or extinguish the true light that is shining, the Logos of God. We read in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 6, For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, it is in this that we rejoice. Here we bow the knee. Here we confess him, King of glory now. Here is the gospel. Here is our joy. Here is the light of our salvation. God's Son has shone out of darkness, has illuminated our minds and our hearts, has illuminated the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! What a Savior. My friends, if you're here today, but you do not know the Savior, perhaps you feel uncomfortable, perhaps you feel unworthy, perhaps black with sin, and the things that you've done in your life and in your heart was as black as the darkest night to you, and you feel there's no hope for you, it is God who can say to you today, let the light shine out of darkness, shine in your heart to give you the light, the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And the believers here today who love Christ, we are no better than you. We are here because we were like you, unworthy, unrighteous, filled with evil thoughts and evil deeds, clinging to our sin, haters of God, haters of his law. But what has happened? What has happened? What has happened is that the true light has come into the world, has shone in our hearts. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. What has happened is that the Word became flesh. God was contracted to a span, to our time. For our sakes, him who knew no sin was made to become sin for us, took the punishment of our sin, absorbed the full wrath and justice of God for our sin, that we might have life in his name. For in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Friends, we come back to the theme and the purpose of the Gospel of John. The theme is the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Logos of God, and the purpose of the Gospel. These things are written that you might believe, and that by believing you might have life in his name. The Word was with God in the beginning. The Word was God. All things were created by him, and that he became flesh, and his life was the light of men, and that light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And if that light shines in your heart by God's grace as a free gift, you too will have the Son. You too will have life. And if you believe, Christ will give you the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He will illumine your mind and your heart. If you come to him, if you believe on him, he will abundantly pardon you. Isaiah 1:18 speaks of the gospel hundreds of years before the Lord Jesus Christ came. But it was Christ. It was the Logos, the Word of God, preaching in the Old Testament. And that word comes to you today. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall become like wool. My friends, this reasoning is something you must not reject. This is a Christ that you must believe in. Will you not come to him today? Why will you not believe on the Son, the Logos of God, in whom is life and life in his name, in him who can give you life today? For that life was the light of men, and that life can be your light today, even to the darkest condemned soul, For whoever has the Son has life. If you do not have the Son, you remain dead in your trespasses and sins. And I would urge you, young person, children, call on the Lord Jesus Christ today. Call on the gracious Savior. Ask him to give you the new birth. Ask him to illumine your mind and your heart. For whoever comes to him, he will in no wise cast him out. The Logos is God's agent in creation. The Logos has life in himself. The light of the Logos has overcome the darkness. All things were made through him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness has not overcome it. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we have looked again at the pages of Scripture. We have considered again your eternal Son. How we thank you for the words of Scripture in which you have revealed yourself. You have revealed your Son, who is God, the Son, the only begotten of the Father. You have revealed your Spirit, and we thank you that you are the eternal Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lord, how we thank you this day for the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. How we thank you that these words that were penned hundreds of years ago are life and truth to us today. And if we believe in the Son, we will have life. How we thank you that there is life in his name. Lord, help us as believers to realize that the light that has shone in our hearts, we ought to shine forth the light of the gospel and the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Lord, help us always as your children to be ready to give an account of that faith that is within us. And above all, help us to walk in a manner that makes it plain that we are children of God, that even by our good deeds, people may give glory to our Father in heaven. How we bless you for your salvation, and we pray that even today, some would call upon your name and find life in that name. We worship you and thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Benediction, Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Amen.